Amen. John chapter 11. On the screens, if you can go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 verse 15. And put it up in the Amplified if you can. In your Bibles, book of John. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Just such a chapter chock full of spiritual truth. Much of it I've tried to open up to you in services past. But in John 10, Jesus has had a bunch of religious people try to stone him. It's funny how that works. But a lot of religious people weren't too pleased with Jesus. And so I like it. It phrases it. And they picked up stones again to stone him. So this wasn't the first go around. Again, they tried. But of course, Jesus walks through the midst of them. And he goes to another town, and at this town, he hears some news. And let's look at the news he hears in John chapter 11, verse 1. It said, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his servants sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that, and he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now notice verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha." He loved Martha. And he loved her sister. And he loved Lazarus. "And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode," now this is important, I've got all this underlined, "he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was," made no movement. I said he made no movement. He was still. He made no movement. Now think about it. He hears that the one that he loves, Lazarus, this is someone who's very close to Jesus. And of course, Jesus loves everyone. But we get the implication from these texts that Jesus' heart was knit. He felt a divine connection to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he hears that one that he loves is sick. And they're putting pressure on Jesus to make a move. The implication that we read into here in John chapter 11 is they're saying, "Come, Jesus, the one that you love, you know you love him. He's sick, so come, come." But Jesus stays still, makes no movement. For 2 days, he stays still. And it doesn't make sense. When Jesus later, if you keep reading in John chapter 11, when Jesus later goes to meet Lazarus and goes to pray for him, he's dead by this point. And buddy, his sisters are hot with Jesus. I mean, they are hot with him. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they're upset with him. They're very emotional. And here we see that Jesus is making a decision. And he's not deciding anything. He's staying still. He's got a choice to make. Do I go? Do I not go? And he's staying still for 2 days, makes no movement. And I get the impression in my heart tonight that there may be some individuals here who you're facing a decision. Do I go? Do I not go? Do I invest? Do I not invest? Do I step out? Do I not step out? Do I walk away or do I stay? What do I do? What do I do? And with every important decision like this, there's always some emotion. I'll put it to you this way. There's always some pressure. There's always something that wants to wear on you emotionally and try to put pressure on you. You know, family will tell you one thing, a friend will tell you another. A boss will tell you one thing and the employee will say something else. And you're wondering, what in the world do I do? Notice what Jesus did. Nothing. He stayed still. Well, what's he waiting for? Let's read. Let's keep reading. He's staying still. Well, what's he waiting for? Why isn't he making a move? Verse 7, "And after that," after 2 days, after he stayed in the same place, "then after that, he saith unto his disciples, Let us go over into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? So now here you've got the other side of the equation. On one side, you got people putting all this pressure on you to come. Come, Lazarus is sick. The disciples could care less about Lazarus being sick at this point. They're saying, Jesus, where Lazarus is, they tried to stone you the last time you went through there. And they're not so much thinking about Jesus so much as they're thinking about themselves. Because wherever Jesus goes, they have to go too. And so they're saying, Master, I think it'd be a good idea if we hung out here. We love Lazarus and all, but we think it'd be a good idea if we just kind of stayed around here a couple of more days, let this kind of pass over. So on one side, he's got the emotional draw, come. On the other side, he's got the emotional draw, let's not go anywhere at all. But notice, I want you to see through this text, how Jesus makes a decision. Oh, friends, if you can learn how to make decisions this way, you will have it made. Watch this. Verse 7. Then after that, saith he unto his disciples, let's go. And verse 8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou again thither again? And Jesus answered. Now notice this. Are there not 12 hours in the day? He's talking about 12 hours of the day that are light. That you could walk outside and see where you're going, where sunlight is. If any man, now highlight this or underline it. If any man walk in the day, he what? Stumbleth not. There's no occasion to miss it when you're walking in the day. There's no occasion of missing it when you're walking in the light. There's nothing you're going to trip over. There's no hindrance. There's nothing that's going to get in your way. There's nothing that you're going to stumble over when you're walking in the day. Now, we know that. Have you ever stumped your toe in the middle of the night? I mean, just stumped your toe. I've done that before so many. I had a column in my old house. And every time I'd wake up in the middle of the night, go into the fridge and walk by and stump your toe. And you get mad, you want to kick it. And that doesn't make any sense either. You know, men, when you get emotional, you get angry. So you want to kick it and then you hurt your other toe. But no, why'd you stump your toe? You're walking in the darkness. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you walk in darkness, you've got occasion for stumbling. But if you walk in the day, there's no chance of it. No chance of you stumbling. Now, we know that obviously you got a much better chance of not stumbling if you're walking in light than if you're walking in darkness. But Jesus here is not talking about just walking during the day while there's sunlight. He's using a natural example to illustrate a spiritual point. And watch what he says here. Because if any man walk in the day, verse 9, he stumbleth not. Because he seeth the light of this world. Now watch, he's about to make the transition, talking about a natural example over into a spiritual one. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light where? Where? In him. When do you stumble? When you make a decision and there's no light where? In you. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting on light. How do you make a decision? You don't make a decision until the Lord lights your candle. Jesus, he has this pressure, make a move, make a move, make a move. Lazarus needs you. You know you love him. Make a move, make a move, make a move. Then you got the disciples over here saying, don't move. Please, whatever you do, don't move. They tried to stone you the last time. Don't make a move. Don't make a move, make a move. Don't make a move, make a move. Don't make a move, make a move. Now, have you ever had that going on in you? Well, what do I do? Do I make a move? Do I don't make a move? Well, this is what Jesus is dealing with here. Why is he making a decision? Why'd he wait 2 days? He's waiting on what? Light. Light where? In him. In him. I'm waiting for the Lord to give me light in here. And when he got that light, he made that step, even though it was 2 days later. Now, for the disciples, it was 2 days too soon. For the Mary and Martha, it was 2 days too late. So in both their minds, he was out of time, out of sync. But he hit it right on the head. And let's keep reading here and watch. Well, you know the end of the story, so we'll just read a little bit of it. Verse 10, but if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of him resting in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I love Thomas. He's the eternal pessimist. Then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples said, let us all go that we may die with him. I mean, Thomas is saying, we're going to die. They're going to stone us when we get to this city. Let's just all go and we'll just go die with him. So, you know, Jesus just had to shake his head. But my point is, one thought it was a matter of life. And the other thought, Thomas thought, it's a matter of death. But it worked out perfectly. I said it worked out perfectly. Well, why? Jesus waited. He was still until there was light where? In him. In him. I've seen so many people miss it. So many people miss it because they acted before they got light. So many people miss it. And I've seen so many people, it looked like they were making a complete boneheaded move. But man, it worked out like a dream. Just worked out like a dream because they had light. I know when me and my wife got married, how many months were we dating? Three months. And we got married after 3 months. Had a wedding date, kept moving it up. Well, can you blame me? Come on now. But no, we had peace about it. And Lord knows I would never, ever, ever recommend that to my children. Ever. And I mean, her parents they didn't like me because they didn't know me. And now they love me because they know me. But man, it's a mess. I mean, just a mess. And people saying, don't do it, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it, do it. Anyway, I had peace about it. And man, my mind was fighting me the whole way, but I had peace about it. And we wanted to do a small wedding. And so we were actually going to go down to the beach and do a wedding there. And it was several months after the date we actually got married. And I just didn't have peace about it. Well, come to find out, a storm came through and blew that place away a week before we would have gone to get married there. And so now you just look at it and see how perfect it was and just how divine it was. Well, it's because we had light. And it didn't make sense, but we had light. Sometimes God doesn't always make sense. That's why you can't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, you got to acknowledge your heart, acknowledge Him, and trust your heart. So with this, do you have light? If you don't have light, you don't make a move. I know in my life right now, it seems like I'm making a lot of decisions. Well, how do you make those decisions? You wait for light. God's wisdom's like a gift. You can't force it. If you force a gift, it's not a gift anymore. It's a gift to you. Well, my birthday was yesterday. My wife's is tomorrow. So, you know, it's a gift given time in the Sims household. If she was going to give me a gift, I can't make her give me a gift. It ceases to be one. So what I do, I just wait for it. Come on, somebody, you just wait for it. Surely it's coming any time now. But, no, I'm kidding. But you just wait for it. When Christmas season comes, what are your kids doing? They're waiting for that day. I remember one Christmas. I just drugged my parents into it, really me and Hope did. We said, let us open up one gift early. It's like 2 weeks before Christmas. Let us open up just one early. Just one early. And so they said, okay, you can open up one. And turns out we opened up the best one. And so they were like, just go ahead and open them all up. Just go ahead and open them all up. So we opened them all up. Then Christmas came. We were miserable. It was the worst Christmas ever. Wow, we forced the gift. We forced it. We forced it. And a lot of times we sense the pressure like Jesus did. It's, I got to make a move. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. What you have to do is obey God. You got to wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. And so with that, let light come. Well, what do I mean by let light come? When light comes, your heart is captured by it. And the Old Testament says you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I love that. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. It almost gives the impression that you turn around and that voice is not there anymore. That if you try to look for it in the natural, you don't hear it. But when you're still and you're carrying on with your life as normal, you'll get direction almost coming behind you, almost coming like it's just trying to sneak over into your heart. Now, this is the way. This is what you're supposed to do. Walk ye this way. Walk ye in this. And you make that move. I love this scripture in Colossians 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. It says, and let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. I've been meditating on this for a while now. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. What has the rule? Peace. If I don't have peace, I don't have the rule. I don't know how to measure this. I'm waiting for peace. I'm waiting for the Lord to light my candle. But notice, peace is going to act as an umpire continually. Where? In your where? Not in your head, but where? In your heart. Peace is going to be found in your heart. And what are you doing with that peace? You're letting it have rule. It's deciding with finality and settling with finality. How many questions? All that arise where? In your minds. Don't you love this? Where do the questions come? In your mind. But where does your answer come? In your heart. How does it come? Peace. And you let that peace settle it. You let that peace rule. Now what happens is you'll get in a time like this and you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know exactly what to do. You hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You minister to the Lord, like we talked about last week in Acts chapter 13. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke unto them. You get in a setting like this and the Lord speaks to you. And it's not with an audible voice or anything like that. It's not with just something that you discern with your mind. No, that's not the point. You discern it in your heart. Your mind is filled with questions, but your heart answers it with finality, with that peace. Oh, let's keep reading here. I want to dive into this just a little bit more, and then we're going to worship a little bit. To which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Notice, let the peace, let's read it again, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with what? When you get peace, it's done. When you get light, it's done. You're not thinking about it anymore. You're not asking 15 other people if they have peace about it. If you get peace in your heart, it's final. It's done. We don't go back to our minds. And notice, it with finality, all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. I love the example John G. Lake gave. It's one that we talk about a lot. But he said, in every Christian, there's an ultimate note. I love that, an ultimate note. And what he mean by that, this is what he meant. Have you ever heard someone sing and it was just right on cue? I mean, just right on cue. Isn't it beautiful when it is? Oh, man, I tell you what, I love good singing. But on the other side of that, have you ever heard someone, and it's like a donkey braying in a tin barn? I mean, it couldn't be further. Couldn't be further than the right note. I mean, it just couldn't be further away from the tune. I mean, just couldn't be further away. You ever sat behind one of those persons or in front of one of those persons and they sat behind? Yeah, come on now, you know it. We try to make it loud enough in here so you can't, but no, I'm kidding. But have you ever listened to something and you said, man, that's just out of tune. That's just out of tune. Now, you didn't go to music school for that, did you? Huh? You didn't? Yeah, well, some of you say, yeah, I did, actually. But no, all of us, if I got up here and started singing out of tune, you'd be able to tell. How? You just know. You just know if it sounds right. And John G. Lake was saying, within every Christian, there's an ultimate note. You know if something's right. You know. You can try to act like you don't know, but you know. And you know if something's wrong. There's an ultimate note in the heart of a believer, because your spirit's made alive unto God, that knows what's the will of God. It knows. His spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. Well, you just got to act like you know, and you got to trust that peace. You got to trust it. Let's go over to Psalms. We'll close with this and then worship. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. On the screens, pull up Proverbs 20:27. Psalms chapter 18 in verse 28. Now here you're going to see the fruit of it. What happens when you do this. Psalms 18. And let's look here in verse 28. For the Lord will light my candle. The Lord God will enlighten my darkness. Now, we'll read the next part, but notice this, and on the screens, if you can go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27, if you can pull that up for me real quick. Notice this phrase in Proverbs 20 and verse 27 there we go. The spirit of man, that factor in human personality, which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The King James Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I grew up hearing my father say that all the time. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Brother Hagin, who is his spiritual father. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I never understood what that meant. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, and it's in my belly. What does that mean? And one day I was praying, wasn't even thinking about this, and the Lord brought that scripture up to me. He said, you got to keep in mind, back in those days, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have all these lights. And so if they wanted light, they'd have to light a candle. And he said, you could imagine if you were in a dark room, and there was no light in that room, and you wanted light, and say you were looking for your car keys, but there was no electricity. All you had was a little candle there, and you're looking for your car keys. But what would you do? You'd go over and you'd light the candle, and then you get the candle real close to your face, and you'd go around, not too close, but you'd get it, and you'd kind of light up the room, and you'd have to search all throughout the room, because you don't have light to make the whole room bright. You just got a little candle. And so you search all that room until you find what you're looking for. And maybe they were on the cabinet, or maybe they were on the nightstand, or maybe they were put underneath some trousers or whatever. But you searched for them, but the only way you saw them was by lighting that candle and searching with it. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's what he enlightens. Well, where is it? It's in your belly. When you're looking, it's in here. It's funny, we have a lady on staff named Kiki. That's what I call her. Her name's Kathy, actually. She's over our cafe. And if you've enjoyed anything out of the cafe, it's because of Kiki. Aren't you thankful for Kiki? I'll tell you what. It's a blessing. Anyway, she just was looking for a rental. And one of our church members named Ed Trim came up to her, and he said, I feel right in here. Ed said, you need to go look in. He named the neighborhood. You need to go look in there, because she couldn't find a rental. Well, sure enough, she walked in there. And the next day, found a rental, signed the contract. It was the perfect place. Well, how do you know that? The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. The Lord will light your candle, we just read. He'll light your candle. He'll enlighten your darkness. When you don't know what to do, that's where you look. Well, when I'm looking for an answer, I don't search with this. Where do I search? I search with my candle. What's my candle? My spirit man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I search with that. So I keep looking to the inside until I see it. Just like you'd be looking for car keys in a dark room with a candle, you keep looking to the inside until you see it. And finally, the Lord lights that candle. He says, I got it. Now watch what happens after the Lord lights your candle. You get that direction. Proverbs 18 and verse 28. For the Lord will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee, now notice this, for by thee, Lord, have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is what? It's perfect. His way is what? It's perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way what? Perfect. Don't you love perfect? He maketh my way perfect. He make my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Well, where's all this coming from? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Enemies destroyed, perfect pass, feet not slipping, life being perfect. Where did it all start? With the Lord doing what? Lighting his candle. The Lord will light my candle, and after my candle is lit, man, I could jump over a wall. I could run through a troop. My hands gain more strength. My life takes on the supernatural. Why? I got direction. His ways are perfect. There's no slipping in his ways. There's no chance of stumbling when you're walking in the light. What do you got to do? You got to wait. You got to be still and allow the Lord to light your candle. And you use that to search, and you use that to find direction. We're getting ready on Sunday to do kind of like a vision Sunday, where we kind of talk about where we've been, and then we kind of talk about for the next couple of months where we're going. Some new things we're putting into the church. Man, I'm excited about it. Oh, I'm excited about it. And just really thrilled about not only where we're going, but also where we've been. The Lord's been so faithful to us. I'd love to tell you some of the numbers and things like that now. But man, the church is healthy in every way. So I'm excited to tell you that. And you'll hear more about it this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But I was looking over our numbers, and I noticed that every time we went to a new service, and I know this sounds like, well, of course, but every time we went to a new service over the last couple of years, that's when we always saw the biggest results. Well, somebody says, that just makes sense. You're adding an opportunity to serve more people. Yeah, and that's true. But buddy, every time we went to a new service, oh my word, my mind fought me. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you the kind of pressure I had during that time, from going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. You have so many people who tell you, well, that's not God, it's not going to work, and you're not given any time for God to move. And I believe, you know, I believed a lot of those things as well. That what's going to happen here, and what about this, and what about that? And you have all these different people who want to tell you, yeah, it's a great idea. And these other people tell you, no, it's a bad idea. And these other people say, we don't like it. And these other people who say, we like it. And you're a pastor, so you want to please everyone, you know, because you're nice, right? I'm a nice guy. You want people to like you. And more than that, though, I want to do my job well, because I'm a steward. I'm not only a steward of the ministry God's given me, but I'm a steward over the ministry that God gave my father. And so I don't take this lightly at all. And I had a lot of sleepless nights. But I always knew in my heart the way I should go. I always knew it. Just woke up one morning, poof, there's that candle. Just lit up. I look back over my life. I've been doing a lot of that lately. I see the handiwork of God. I see by my God, it looks like the impossible has seen it and touched it and felt it and experienced it. And it's not because I'm so special. A lot of it's the call of God. The call of God grabs you and pulls you. There's a lot of things I see I didn't believe for.
It's just the call pulled them to me. Faith pushes the vision forward. The call pulls it. Pulls you. It's what the call pulled Paul into ministry. Pulled Peter into ministry. Pulled John into ministry. The call will pull you, but you also need faith to push it. And I look at it, and every time we made those moves, every time I followed peace, I've always seen the greatest results. And so, singers, if y'all can come back up, bang, get ready. We're going to sing tonight. Just a little bit, close out service. About 5-10 minutes. No big deal. But the goal is for you to just worship. Kind of let down your guard a little bit. I think already, even while we were worshiping, the Lord was speaking to some of you. But just allow the Lord to speak to you. And if you have peace on something already, I know there's some questions that I've walked in with even tonight that I knew I had peace on it. I mean, I knew I had peace on it. But at the same time, your mind just fights you. I mean, and you got to learn how to shut that off and just follow peace. And so with this, as they're worshiping, as they're singing, as the lights get dim and all that kind of good stuff again, just take a couple of moments to just wait on the Lord. Just do what Jesus did. Just be still for a minute. Jesus was still. Well, what's he waiting? I'm waiting for light. If I walk in the light, I'll never stumble. So with this, friends, just take a moment to be still. And as you are, I believe the Lord's going to speak to you. And he's going to decide with finality all the questions that are in your mind. Not with a voice, but with peace. With peace. There's going to be a peace on the inside of you. Amen. Take it away, guys.